Welcome to this midweek message from Myerstown Church of the Brethren. This message is for Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021. And it's another message in the Shouting Stones series. Today, the centurion at the cross. We'll start with scripture, Mark 15, verses 33 through 39. This is the New Revised Standard Version. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Well, did you know that approximately 40% of the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, focus on the last week of Jesus' life? And that percentage increases to about 66%. In the Gospel of John. If the Gospels were simply biographies of Jesus' life, death, and resurrections, and collections of his teaching, one might expect a more balanced approach by the writers to the various seasons of Jesus' life. But that is not what we find. A disproportionate focus in all four Gospels is given to the last week of Jesus' life, which is where we find ourselves in this Shouting Stone series of Lenten midweek messages. So far, we've considered the boldness of Bartimaeus, who recognized Jesus as the son of David, and the young servant girl who spoke what she knew to be true, and in doing so, brought Peter to tears when he realized the extent of his betrayal of Jesus. Today, we find ourselves at the scene of the crucifixion and the confession of a Roman centurion who participated in and witnessed Jesus' crucifixion. Because of what he saw and experienced, he was led to proclaim, "This man truly was the Son of God." Now, this in itself seems somewhat improbable. After all, what was Jesus to this Roman soldier? I mean, he possibly had heard of Jesus because of all the commotion and excitement in Jerusalem that week, especially since he may have been among those assigned to keep order in the city. To him, Jesus was probably just another Jewish fanatic causing unrest while he and his fellow soldiers were trying to keep the peace. But he had received an order, the execution of this disturber of the peace. It was his job, and a scene all too familiar to him, something he had probably done too many times before. Unfortunately, we can't read tone of voice into what he said, so it's possible that his confession was made in a mocking tone, a roll of his eyes and a dismissive sigh. On the other hand, it's possible the centurion had heard Jesus teach, heard some truth in what Jesus said, and now was disturbed about the death of one he had come to respect. We really have no way of knowing, except that the early church found this centurion's confession significant, a sort of first fruits of the work Jesus had accomplished on the cross. Mark tells us when this centurion saw how Jesus had died, something came over him. There was something mysterious about it. But what exactly had he seen? We need to pull together all four gospel accounts of Jesus' trial before Pilate and his crucifixion to get a full picture of what this Roman centurion must have seen and heard. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Roman soldiers come on the scene at the end of Jesus' trial when Pilate sentenced him to be flogged and then crucified. John also says there were some Roman soldiers along with a temple guard at Jesus' arrest in Gethsemane. So it's conceivable that this centurion could have been present at Jesus' arrest, but certainly in the vicinity of the Praetorium when Jesus was being tried before Pilate. If so, he could have witnessed Jesus' silence in response to Pilate's questioning. He could have witnessed Pilate say three times that he found Jesus innocent, and could find no reason to sentence him to death. He probably heard the crowds call for the release of the criminal Barabbas and their shouts of "Crucify him." Maybe he was among the soldiers who flogged, mocked, and crowned Jesus with a crown of thorns. He may have been among the soldiers accompanying Jesus to Golgotha. If so, he would have heard Jesus' words to the women who followed, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Once at Golgotha, he would have seen Jesus refuse the drink of wine and gall, which would have dulled his pain. After Jesus had been nailed to and lifted up on the cross, he would have witnessed Jesus' words of comfort for his mother, his words of forgiveness for those who had participated in his execution, and his assurance to a dying thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What seemed to impress the centurion most, Mark tells us, is how Jesus died. Jesus' words and actions from the cross were certainly different from the two thieves who had also been crucified. John's version seems to indicate a quiet death. He has Jesus saying, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke each say Jesus cried out with a loud voice as he died, something unexpected for someone who'd been hanging on a cross for even a short period of time. First, he cries out, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" And finally, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." The centurion saw how Jesus died. Yes, in the agony that crucifixion brought, but also with compassion for others who were there at the cross, and with ultimate trust in his Father's love. And the centurion exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." Mark offers us no details about this unnamed Roman centurion, nothing about his background other than that he's a Roman soldier. Some church traditions have him going on to be a follower of Jesus, even a preacher and missionary. That day, this Roman centurion found himself standing at the line between faith and culture. He was part of and had one foot in the powerful dominant culture of Rome, but he was also being pulled in a new direction by what he saw and heard at Jesus' crucifixion. Standing at that line between faith and culture was a difficult place for him to be. It's a place where we also struggle. Several years ago, there was a Geico commercial, or the infamous Geico Gecko, is in the town of Bristol, which is on the line between Virginia and Tennessee. The gecko jumped back and forth across the line in the street, Virginia, Tennessee, Virginia, Tennessee. And finally, he decides to put one foot in Virginia and the other foot in Tennessee, and decided that was where he wanted to be, in Virginia-see. Well, like the gecko, we often find ourselves jumping back and forth between Virginia and Tennessee, between our commitment to our faith and the lure of and the comfort of culture. As believers, we certainly don't want to be an outsider to the faith community. We want to know we belong to Jesus and the faith community. We want the assurance of salvation, the promise of heaven, the peace that passes understanding. We want to be an insider, assured that we're recipients of all Jesus promised. But there are times, maybe too many times, when we jump to the other side. We want to be an insider in the cultural community too. Culturally, we don't want to be seen as different. Our brethren and forefathers were proud, maybe a little too proud, of the fact that they were known as peculiar people. Today, I suspect, even we brethren don't want to be seen as too peculiar. We like all the creature comforts of the world offers us. We like all our gadgets. We like being just like everybody else. Maybe too often we're a little like that gecko, jumping back and forth between Virginia and Tennessee, between faith and culture, when it serves our self-interest. The danger is that as we find ourselves jumping from one side to another, we might find ourselves getting stuck on one side or the other. If we get stuck on the cultural side, we may find ourselves losing our faith, or at the very least, watering it down into some kind of cultural Christianity, which bears little resemblance to biblical Christianity. On the other hand, if we get stuck on the faith side, which might be a good place to be, we risk becoming dogmatic and unloving of those other people. We can lose our ability to influence the culture around us for Christ. As it's been said, we can become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Which raises the possibility, and I think the necessity, that where we as followers of Jesus need to be is in Virginia C. We need to be straddling the line between faith and culture, with one foot firmly rooted in our faith and the other unashamedly living out that faith in the world where we are. The Roman centurion stood at that line between faith and culture. He stood at the foot of the cross, and because of what he heard and saw, he unashamedly proclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." So as you gaze upon the cross, as you examine your own faith this Lenten season, what have you heard? What have you seen? Today, how is your faith in the one who died on that cross? And how are you living out that faith in the world in which you live each day? As people of faith, we stand at the line. We straddle the line between faith and culture. It's where we need to be, one foot firmly rooted in Christ, the other in the world as Christ's ambassadors. May we all learn to stand strong on both feet, in Christ and in the world, to the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for bearing our sins on the cross. Thank you for the confession of that Roman centurion. Help us as we stand with one foot in our faith and the other in the world. Help us to stand strong on both feet to your glory and the glory of God. Amen. Have a great week, and I hope to see you on Sunday morning. God bless.